Hi, everybody. Welcome back to WFAN's Baseball Insiders Yankees Spring Training Podcast for Wednesday, March 24th. Opening day now just 8 days away. The Yankees have some decisions to make. The fifth starter competition might be clearing up. Davey Garcia worked on Wednesday, and he allowed 7 hits and 4 runs, including a couple of home runs in 3 innings of work. Garcia's worst outing of the spring came in a 5-0 loss to the Blue Jays in Tampa. Overall, it's been a pretty good spring for Davey Garcia, but his last couple of times out, his fastball command has gotten away from him, and his ability to put batters away with 2 strikes has escaped him. Both in his last time out against the Phillies and in this outing against the Blue Jays, had hitters with 2 strikes. And those guys ended up working deeper counts, deeper at bats, worked up his pitch count pretty good. And these are the kinds of things that need to be cleaned up and probably give you an idea that Domingo Germán is going to edge out Garcia for that fifth starter role early in this season. Doesn't mean that Garcia isn't going to pitch for the Yankees at some point this year, maybe even early on, and have a good season for them. But at this point, he's simply not pitching very well his last 2 times out. And, you really want him to be moving in the right direction, not the wrong direction. So it's nothing that a couple of extra starts maybe at that alternate site can't fix. I would say minor leagues, but that's not going to start up until May. And you'd hope that he's in a position to be pitching better before then, although you don't know if the Yankees are going to need him before then. Overall, though, it's a good problem for the Yankees to have in that their decisions, at least as far as the starting pitching is concerned, right now their decisions are all based on performance, nothing else. Everybody has thrown the ball really well pretty much the entire spring. There is no reason, and I'll knock on wood for you, there is no reason to think about an injury concern with any of these starters so far. So you're making a decision based on performance. And if you're going to base it on performance, Domingo Germán has pitched better than Garcia. You know Tyone and Kluber have pitched well. Jordan Montgomery has pitched well. And obviously Gerrit Cole is your number one in your opening day starter. So you're going to build everything around that. And the Yankees have some bullpen decisions to make. And that got a little bit more complicated, first with the injury to Zach Britton, and now with the injury to Justin Wilson, which the Yankees say for now they don't have a whole lot of information on as far as timetable. It's a day-to-day situation right now because the MRI performed on Wilson came back clean. His shoulder is not an issue from a structural standpoint, so they're going to give him some anti-inflammatories for a couple of days, take care of maybe some of that muscle tightness that he experienced, and see how long that takes. Now, it's a little vague how many days it's going to be, or if they think Wilson can still make the opening day roster for them, but I still think there are trade possibilities in the works here, because there are a lot of other roster issues the Yankees have here that they need to clear up. And it's all part of one big puzzle. The last bench spot is something that, they have to resolve here and make at least a couple of moves in the next couple of days to figure out, especially the situation with Jay Bruce and Derek Dietrich. They'll have to move on those guys in a couple of days here and make a decision, as you're now almost a week away from opening day. And these are veteran players with the outs in their contracts and certain CBA stipulations that they have to know that it can't go to the very final day of spring training for them. Bruce is interesting because he started out pretty well, but he's kind of faded a little bit. And Mike Tauchman has played very well. And early in spring, for me, it was, okay, Jay Bruce is a veteran. He has a long track record. He's playing very well. And Mike Tauchman had a bad 2020. Now he's playing well again in the spring. And it's, it's important not to get fooled by what you're seeing in March. But, what the Yankees saw from him 2 years ago is what they hope they have in that player, what they hope he is. And Tauchman had an issue last year that, might be a very big reason why he didn't hit well in 2020. I'll get to that in a second. But as far as the roster decisions of competing with Jay Bruce and trying to find a roster spot when the Yankees have a full, healthy load of outfielders, and it's hard maybe for him to find a spot right now, and being out of options to send to the minors, and his future kind of up in the air right now, these are the discussions, the decisions that Tauchman said earlier that they're just things he can't really worry about right now.
I don't have any say in that. So I've personally been happy with my level of at bat. I've been happy with the way I've played the outfield, and I've been happy with how my body's felt. I think that I'm in a position to play at a high level in the major leagues this year. And to me, that's much more of a priority than worrying about what people way above my pay grade are going to do. So I'm focused on playing baseball. I'm focused on today. And that's really as far in the future as I'm looking.
Now, I mentioned the reason for the poor 2020 for Tauchman. He revealed early in spring training that he had a shoulder issue last year, shoulder injury that really affected his swing. And it is a really good explanation for why his power just fell off the table in 2020. Remember the sock man, Tauchman the sock man? Well, there was no sock left in the sock man last year. It was gone, didn't hit a home run after showing so much power in 2019 for the Yankees. Short sample size, but still pretty good clout for Mike Tauchman in 2019. It disappeared altogether in the short season of 2020. Well, the shoulder issue that Tauchman talked about really seemed to have robbed him of his power. I asked him about it again earlier on Wednesday, and he's not ready to call it. He doesn't want to call it as an excuse for what happened last year. It's part of what you like about Mike Tauchman. He seems to be, you know, pretty straightforward in his approach as a player. And he's mentioning the injury and telling us what it did, but he's not calling it as an excuse. And it's important to note here that, you know, when we ask players for different reasons why they don't perform the way we think they should or they think they should, it's a reason. Now, sometimes it comes off to people as an excuse, but it is a reason, and it's all in your perception of how you feel about the person and how genuine they are and what your expectations are for the player and how they're playing through it. It's kind of it's one of the rough things about being a professional athlete. You want a gamer who plays through pain, but you want him to perform at the same high level as if he wasn't in pain. It's a really hard thing to accomplish, and Tauchman went through that last year, and he put that kind of pressure on himself. Here's Tauchman really mentioning this shoulder issue and how it wasn't an excuse, but it was a reason why he didn't play well last year.
I felt as though I was healthy enough to play, so I'm not trying to explain away a bad production level, because ultimately I felt as though I could play. There was a large part of the season where I didn't feel like myself, and it was difficult for me to take the swings that I wanted to take. And I think whether it was consciously or subconsciously, I found a way that I felt like I could swing and play in the games and get through games. And I developed some bad swing path patterns. So, I feel strongly that I'm in a lot better position to have success this year. Whatever anybody else decides is really not up to me. Like I said, I feel like I'm in a good spot right now, and I'm excited, with where my swing's at. I feel good. I feel healthy. And I'm very excited to, you know, wrap up this week of spring and get into the regular season.
So I've gone back and forth on this because I really believe Jay Bruce has played well enough and performed well enough to be a presence for the Yankees. He seems to fit in well with this group. He has a drive to try to win a championship, some veteran leadership that always goes over very well on a club that's kind of prepared like the Yankees are prepared right now. But they like Mike Tauchman and his versatility. The problem for me is that the Yankees have too many outfielders, and I know that guys get hurt, but you can't stash them all right now. And, you know, Gardner, as the backup outfielder, Clint Frazier, is a much different situation than Gardner, the starting outfielder, and Frazier is the backup, because Gardner is the guy who is your defensive outfielder now. He can come in late innings for Clint Frazier. He can move around and spell Aaron Hicks. He can spell Aaron Judge. He's an everyday outfielder that's now in the fourth role. Tauchman is a fourth outfielder, and there's a difference there. The Yankees believe that they have a player similar to who he was in 2019, but that's not a given because, that was really the first consistent big league chance he got. And so you have to measure 2019 versus 2020 versus what you have and need in 2021. And if you have everybody healthy, and if you have Jay Bruce here, who's able to also play first base, and remember they shipped Mike Ford out, so there's not a true first baseman on the roster besides Voit and DJ LeMahieu is going to shift over late innings. More on that in a second. Tuchman seems to be a guy who you want to have, but I don't know that there's a place for him. And if the Yankees are in a situation right now with Britton and Wilson where they're looking for relief help, perhaps Tuchman can help them get that relief help. Remember, the Yankees dealt in excess of pitching 2 years ago. They traded a lefty named Philip Deal to Colorado to get Tuchman when they needed an outfielder. So now when they need a pitcher, maybe Tuchman can help get them that. It's one possibility of the many things that they have to maneuver here over the course of the next few days. Now, I mentioned the idea of LeMahieu sliding to first base. We saw that in the game on Wednesday, and it'll be a typical late-inning move in place of Luke Voit. Watch LeMahieu slide over for late-inning defense. Now, when that happens, you need a second baseman. And unfortunately, Derek Dietrich isn't the defensive type of replacement for that position. He's never been a good fielder. He plays multiple positions, but if you talk to people around the league and watch them closely, he doesn't play any of them particularly well. And if I see a weakness on the Yankees, it is on the defensive side in certain spots. We all know where they are, but I think in the infield, it's particularly it's particularly glaring when you think about just the overall range. And if you move LeMahieu to first base, where he has much more range than Voit, and I'm talking about late inning situations, you're going to want Tyler Wade at second base. And for all the hand-wringing we do over his offense, remember, if Tyler Wade isn't hitting, that's probably not the main reason the Yankees might not be winning games. You're going to point to eight other people. If Tyler Wade is in the starting lineup, he is the ninth most important offensive player in the lineup. So if the Yankees lose and Tyler Wade went 0-for-4, there's a pretty good chance that Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres, DJ LeMahieu, Luke Voit, and Gary Sanchez and everybody else also went 0-for-3 or 0-for-4 or came up in certain spots and didn't get a hit. If the Yankees aren't scoring enough runs to win a particular game, it's probably not Tyler Wade's fault. So having him on the team for his glove is a good enough reason for me, because I see the defensive shortcomings on this team. As for the offense, well, Tyler Wade has hit better in the minors than in the majors. He wouldn't be the first player that's happened to. You get a little overmatched, and he has looked overmatched at times, but he's also put together some good at-bats at times, and has shown a decent ability to walk in certain situations, and that lets him use his speed. But again, offense isn't his main thing, but one of the things he is trying to do is trying to remember, especially in the role he's being asked to play here, what kind of hitter he should be. Wade is a guy that, like everybody else, got a little bit into launch angle power ball, and that's something that he needs to come back away from, and he knows that.
I think you kind of, when you look at our lineup, you see a bunch of guys with power. Sometimes you try to do too much. But for me, what I was saying is like middle of the field and low line drives, that works for me. So just being able to hone in on keeping the ball low and just hitting barrels, and good things will happen. It's been frustrating, but like I said, every offseason I go in the offseason, I work as hard as I possibly can and figure out things to be more consistent. And I'm starting to feel as consistent as I've been in a long time, and I'm excited about it.
I keep thinking back to Mick Kelleher, who was a Yankees coach for several years here, including on the 09 team, and he was a major league infielder, and he was a coach for decades, retired a couple of years ago, but he was an infielder in the 70s and early 80s, and he accomplished something that I don't think you can ever do in today's game. He played 11 big league seasons. He did not hit a single home run. You cannot carry a player like that anymore. Now, a lot of different reasons for that. Parks are smaller. The ball is juiced. Lots of other things. But the type of player that Kelleher was does not stand a chance of staying on a big league roster 11 years if he doesn't contribute a little bit offensively. Tyler Wade talked more today about the idea of filling that utility type of role, understanding what he's there for, and maybe not getting so infatuated with trying to keep up with the home run guys. And he shouldn't. But it can be a little seductive, especially when you're a fringy player trying to separate yourself and trying to say, okay, what's going to keep me on a big league roster consistently? What's going to get me a big league job? Well, If I hit for more power, maybe that'll help. There are hundreds of players who are doing that exact same thing. And maybe it's to the detriment of the game, but that's the way the game is played right now. So a lot of people go into that. If Wade can come back, remember, a healthy Yankee team features Tyler Wade in a much different role than a team that has Stanton, Judge, and Sanchez all in the IL at the same time. That's an important consideration. When you think about what the Yankees are going through the last couple of years with all their injuries, you are looking at their subs a lot differently. If the Yankees are healthy and they're putting these guys out there 140, 150 times a year, all their regulars are playing, a guy like Tyler Wade isn't getting nearly as many at-bats, and he's not getting nearly as many important at-bats, you know, in those spots. So I think that his spot on this team is pretty important. I think he is better than Dietrich for that role, and I think he is more important than carrying a sixth outfielder. If you're thinking about carrying both Bruce and Tauchman and Gardner, I really don't see that being an effective bench for the New York Yankees. So I know we've kind of gone back and forth on this a little bit. I'm still unsure of how I feel about the Bruce Tauchman thing because the way Bruce has come back down and really the confidence that Tauchman seems to be displaying with, you know, his health and his ability to produce like he did 2 years ago. So that's a tough decision right there. But for in my mind, it's not a tough decision to keep Wade over Dietrich. And we'll see how they go. We still have a few more days until some of those decisions get made. And then there'll be more decisions coming up before opening day. Opening day is a week from Thursday. The weather doesn't look too bad. It's around 50, some sun. Listen, I'll take it. Could be a lot worse. I'm sure, you know, I would love some of these 60 and 70 degree days we've been having in New York. But as long as it's not raining or 32 or snowing, something like that, I think I'll take it. More still to come here in the days leading up to opening day. Please make sure you subscribe to WFAN's Baseball Insiders, radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or your other podcast platforms. You'll get hit subscribe, and you'll get my reports and Ed Coleman's Mets reports delivered to you daily. Once again, I'm Sweeney Emerty. Thanks for listening.